God is love. God is love. In our own lives, it can be both easy to think about this and difficult to believe. What I mean is that sometimes we like the implications when we think about the fact that God is love and hence loves us, but sometimes we get frustrated at the generosity of God who chooses to forgive whomever he wishes. Such is the challenge. It seems to me that we live in an age where we tend to go back and forth between two extremes when it comes to God. On the one hand, there is the teddy bear God, which we go to whenever it is that we need to feel a little bit better about whatever. Whatever it is. He loves us, he comforts us, he never really makes any demands on us, he just makes us feel better. Also, we have another extreme that we gravitate to sometimes. I am simply so horrible a person that God could never forgive me. That the sins I've committed are so awful that not even God himself could extend his forgiveness. And of course, both extremes are wrong. In many respects, God is not unlike mothers who, on the one hand, obviously love their children more than you could possibly know. They, in fact, are just so in love with you and want what's best for you. And because of that, sometimes when they seem a little crazy or not put together, it's because of their love for you. They are so afraid that something could happen to you. And they don't know how they would face life if you were not a part of it. I suspect, though, that there are times in your life as sons of your mother that you think to yourself, this woman will never allow me to do what I want to do. And that can be a reality too. But when we think about these types of things, what exactly is it that Jesus is getting at in today's gospel? Think of the story of Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus was a tax collector, which put him in a rather unpopular category for most Jewish people. Now, it wasn't that he collected taxes. That was not the problem. People don't generally like to pay taxes, but most of us can recognize there are instances where we need to for the good of the common society in which we live. But it wasn't because he was a tax collector per se. Rather, there were two really critical factors that were quite important when it came to tax collectors. The first is that to be a tax collector meant really that you had really turned your back on your religion to work for the Roman government. And that made them quite unpopular because if you read the Bible, it always seems to be the case that there is something that persecutes the Jews. Secondly, that would be bad enough. But oftentimes these tax collectors would collect not only the tax due them, but they would collect a little bit more for themselves. They stole from the people. And so when Jesus points out Zacchaeus and says he's going to stay at Zacchaeus' house, people are not happy. In fact, it is the case that they begin to grumble against Jesus. And one can't be completely surprised. If you look at the world in which we live today, companies don't always want sponsors who cause controversy in life. We've seen it just this week as people as companies, corporations are cutting loose from Kanye West, for example. And so they're not happy. But we see this unhappiness in other places too. What they're really unhappy with is that God is generous. We saw it, for example, when Jesus tells the story of those who have worked at various lengths of time for the day, and the people that worked all day long got the same pay as the person that worked only an hour. They're mad at God's generosity. In fact, that's one of the things that's said by the owner of the vineyard. Are you upset because I am generous with my money? God is generous with his forgiveness. That does not mean that we can go about and not really care about how we live. Quite the opposite. If God loves us so much that he wants us to live with him forever, then we need to grow in that same love. We, in fact, need to turn our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because of the reward per se, although that certainly is a good starting point. Eternal life's not a bad consolation for us. But even more, because God loves us. And the response to being loved is to love. Your mothers and fathers, that's what they experienced. They began to love each other, and their response to each other was love. Jesus really wants you to serve him in every way possible. But he also understands that you're going to sin. I'm going to sin. And so there's a second thing, or maybe a third thing. I've lost my count. You know, that was one of the lessons when I had homiletics, when I had my class, never make a list, never say things like the first point I'm going to make, because you'd forget how many points you make and you could sometimes get confused. But I want to point to Paul's reading as something that's also very important, because this is the ultimate desire. This is the reason God forgives our sins. He says this, "We always pray for you," writes Paul to the Thessalonians, "that our God may make you worthy of your calling." And how many wonderful callings there are in the church today. Unfortunately, sometimes when we talk about callings or vocations or so forth, we limit it simply to priests and religious. Now, certainly, as a religious and as a priest, I am happy that that is a vocation. But motherhood is a vocation. As a matter of fact, if we were to look, there would be no other sacraments in the church if mothers did not have children. There would be no other sacraments to receive if mothers did not have their children baptized. And so today we celebrate something wonderful and tremendous. And so I'd ask those sons who are here among us today to spend a little bit of time thinking about what God wants you to do with your life. And I'd ask mothers to pray in gratitude for the high calling they have received from God. And I ask us to pray that God may make you worthy of your calling.